Sehu. Halacha Gimel, we'll start it at least. Inyan Hefker, V'nichsi Ager, Shem Gamkein Hefker Lachar Moisoi. Again, in Shulchan Aruch HaShem Mishpat, it puts together the laws of Hefker, ownerless items, with the possessions of a Ger when he passes away, which also become ownerless. V'chol HaKoidim Bohem Zocho, whoever grabs it first gets to keep it. Now Rav Nosson Zal starts explaining on a different track. Ki kol hakinyonim shel kol hadvorim sheboilon heim al yidei hadas. The acquisition of anything in this world comes about through das. And we've mentioned this before. A person has a Swiss bank account. What makes that bank account his? He's got no savings book. The money is 4,000 miles away. What makes it his? The fact that in his brain, he knows account number 308-4652. The second he forgets that, if he forgets his account number, he's gone. It's not his anymore. He loses his connection, his kesher is das. And das alone is a kinyan. We see the concept of yush mi das. The minute a person loses a watch, the watch is his until he says, I give up on it. And that's a mental kesher. Lahavdol is a laser beam going from his brain to that watch that's attaching it. The minute he says, ah, forget it, I'll never get it back, boom, he cuts off his mental contact with that watch. It's no longer his. From that point on, anyone finds it is allowed to keep it, literally. This is something Rav Nosson Zal explains. Here he's touching on it.
Is he halachically allowed to come? Afterwards, after he did that and it's recovered, is he allowed to say it is mine?
I believe not. Maybe under certain circumstances, if he can show that he only did it because of a... But normally, the assumption is, if people heard him say, I give up on that, I'll never get that watch back, or I'll never get that wallet back. Forget it, it's lost. And then 5 minutes later, somebody shows up with the wallet, technically, I don't know that it's his anymore. Once they heard him say Yish, you know, so for this you have whole chapters in Shulchan Aruch that discuss it. Okay, so now Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki kol hakinyonim shel kol advorim sheboilam heim al yidei hadas. Ki al yidei hadas nasim kol hakinyonim sheboilam. Ki ikar, that's why a koton can't be koina. A koton can't acquire, because he doesn't have the level of das that's needed to be koina. Ki ikar hakinyan hu kishenase biyediya shleimo. The main acquisition of something is when the person understands that item completely. Ubishvil ze tiknu chachameinu zal kol hakinyonim shel kol dover v'dover. This is why the rabbis gave us specific types of kinyonim of all kinds of objects. Kigoin, for example, metaltelin b'meshicha oy b'hagboa. For example, movable objects, you acquire them either by lifting them up or by moving it towards you. The karkois, whereas real estate, immovable objects, b'chazoka, you're coining it by making a chazoka on it, walking around it three times, let's say, or building a fence there, making some kind of a tikkun on the property, ukiyetze b'zeh, and other examples like this. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain. Ki raboyseinu zal shiaru, our rabbis calculated and understood, shayidei kinyan zeh nimshach hadas letoich hamechira oy hamatona, that by doing this physical act, you're drawing das into the sale or into the gift. Dahainu, kishe'omer loy, lech meshoich ukni, when the seller says to the buyer, take this and acquire it, v'hakoina moshach hachefetz, and the buyer goes ahead and pulls the camera towards him across the counter, oz bevadai samcho daitom shel hamoicher v'hakoina sheyiskayim hamekach v'lo yachzur bohem oid lioilam. At that point, both of them have reached an agreement that the sale is complete and neither one has the right to go back on it, in other words, to change his mind. When the owner tells the buyer, take this, take it, it's yours, and the buyer goes ahead and takes it across the counter, even though he's still in the guy's store. What do you mean it's yours? I changed my mind. You're in my store, it's mine? Sheker. When you said take it and I took it, it became mine just on that basis alone. V'chein, the question is again, where's the logic? You're in the guy's property, he could shoot you, he could put a bullet, you know, how in the world, what's the logic? V'chein b'chol ha-kinyonim, and Rav Nosson says this is the rule by all kinyonim. Why? Ki ikar ha-kinyon al yedei ha-das, because it's the das that makes, it's the intent, it's what's in your brain that actually makes the kinyon, that actually changes ownership from A to B. If we could see in Shamayim, in the place where they have listed what belongs to whom, you would see that as soon as two people came to a mental agreement that he wants to give it to him and he's ready to accept it, you would see in Shamayim there's been a name change on that item. It's no longer under the first guy, it's under the second guy. Shemishom nimshochim kol hadvorim sheboilam, because everything in this world comes from das. K'may shekosev, as the pasuk says, kulam bechochma osisa. Everything in this world, k'may shekosev, kulam bechochma osisa. Everything in this world was created from chochma. U'k'may shem razal, and as the Gemara says in the Dorim, das koniso ma chosarto. Das chosarto ma koniso. If you have acquired knowledge, you've acquired everything. You have everything. And if you don't, you lack nothing. And if you don't have knowledge, then you have nothing. That shows us that a person could have a million things, but if there's no das, he doesn't have it. There's no kinyan. The kesher to one's possessions is the das. To the extent that the person's a bar das, he has a hold on those possessions. He has a kesher to them. Look at the wording here. Das koniso. The kinyan is based on the das. Ukamay shekosuv, as in it says in Mishlei, kenei chochma, kenei bina. Acquire chochma, acquire bina. Look how the Torah shows that kinyan is based on das. Vahadas hu ha-Torah. What's the center of das? It's the Torah. Shenikras reishis das. Nimtza sheikar kiyum kol hamasamatn sheboilom hu al yedei ha-Torah shehu ha-das shemechayes ha-koil. Therefore, the main source of all transaction acquisitions in this world are the Torah, which is the das, which gives life to everything. She'al yodoi kol ha-kinyonim, through which all acquisitions are accomplished. Al pi din Torah, based on the das of the Torah, based on the laws of the Torah. Kigoin mishichoy hagbor, whatever the Torah prescribes as the way of being koine. Ki al yidei hadas shehu ha-Torah miskaimim kol ha-kinyonim sheboilam. Because it's das, which is synonymous with Torah, which results in all the acquisitions of the world. V'alkein I efsher lahakmeis shum dovor lechaveroi b'mechiroi b'matono kiim al yidei eze kinyan kifi adina Torah. Therefore, it's impossible for Shimon to acquire something from Reuven just by buying it or whatever, you know, just unless they follow the rules of kinyan in the Torah. It doesn't become Shimon's yet unless they followed one of the procedures of the Torah. Ki beloi hakinyan shayach loy seidovor adayin loy nimshach hadas shua Torah letoy choy samachira ukiyotze. Because without a kinyan being made, without the Torah being put into that sale, the sale can't happen. It's missing a battery. You have a transistor radio, it can't play without the battery in it. Here you have a sale with a contract and everything. All the negotiations were completed, but there's no Torah in there. The battery is missing. The battery of the mechira, the battery of the kinyan, is missing. V'yalkein adayin loy niskayim hamekach now. Therefore, the acquisition has not yet taken place. Here again, you have two guys who agreed to were talking about buying and selling a house, and the guy works for 60 hours with his lawyer. He pays the lawyer $6,000 fee to write up a contract. Does the house belong to the other guy yet? No. It's not until they both sign on bottom of a contract, and it's not until this and this and this, a whole list of... What do you mean? The guy showed his intent, you know, all kinds of things. Not enough yet. Because the din Torah wasn't the das wasn't injected into there that's needed to make it whole. Aval inyan hefker. So the question is, if that's the case, then how do you describe hefker? What does it mean when something is ownerless? When I declare it as ownerless, I'm sorry?
This would mean that in Israel,
yes,
probably 60% of all transactions
aren't legal according to the Torah in a certain way.
Maybe more.
The answer is, one of the rules in the Torah is that in a place where the law of the Torah is not being followed, the Torah empowers the law of the land to have certain powers. The Torah gives authority, you know, to the law of the land to have certain kochot. Just like if a person has an argument with his friend and he wants to take the friend to Bezdin, but the person refuses to go to Bezdin, Bezdin has the authority to say, we permit you to go to a non-Jewish court. We give you the permission and the authority to take him to non-Jewish court. Because you came to... Notice, there, the Torah is sending you to the non-Jewish court. That kind of thing. Avalinian Hefker, hu bechinas koidim kabolas haTorah. But you know what Hefker is? Hefker is the concept of what was in the world before the Torah was given. Ki ikar kium kol hoylam hu rak al yedei haTorah. Because let's understand this. We know that the battery of the whole world is the Torah. The life of the world is the Torah. Kemoi Shom Razal, as the Gemara says, Al Hei Dehashishi, that when it says in the Chumash, Yoim Hashishi Vayechulu Hashmayim Voretz, on the sixth day, heaven and earth were completed. The Gemara says, Shekol Ho'ilam Ho'yotolui Ad Shishi B'Sivon, that the creation of the world was incomplete until the sixth day of Sivan, not the sixth day, not Friday when Adam Rishon was created, but it's the sixth day, 2,448 years later, the sixth day of Sivan when the Torah was given. Shekiblu Yisrael as haTorah, ukamay shekosev, as the pasuk says, namoygim eretz v'chol yeshveha, the earth and all of its inhabitants were shaky, anoichi tikanti amudei hasela, I established its pillars permanently. What's the Onoichi? Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, the Aseres HaDibrois. Matan Torah is what firmly established the world. V'dosh Razal al Kabbalas HaTorah. She'al Yodo Nizbaseis Ha'olam. That's what gave the world a basis, you know, a solid foundation. Avul Koidim Kabbalas HaTorah. Hoyo Kol Ha'olam Bechinas Toyu Vavoyu. But before the Torah, there was no light. There was darkness. Toyu Vavoyu. Bechinas Hefker. There was freedom. There was no Torah. There was this concept of ownerlessness. Because the Torah is the Das. Das is Koine. When there's no Torah, it's Bechinas Hefker. Nobody owns anything. Vafilu kium hoilam koidam atin Torah, hoyorak bishvil ho'osid she'ikablu Yisrael es haTorah. And the fact that the world was able to exist before Matan Torah was only based on the fact that Hashem knew that there was going to be a Torah. It was based on the future. Avol beloy haTorah nechshav kol ha'olam hefker kemidbar. But without a Torah, the whole world becomes an ownerless domain, like desert. V'hakol yecholin lishloy poichas shom. And every man is on his, for himself. Each one can do whatever he wants. We'll hold it over here for now. Rav Nosenzal is going to go into a whole explanation now about before Kabbalah Satorah and after Kabbalah Satorah, tying it into this concept of Hefker versus Kinyan. Avul beloy haTorah, whereas without Torah, nechshav kol ha'olam hefker, kemidbar. Then the whole world is considered free-for-all, like in a desert where, you know, nobody owns the desert, it's all ownerless. And then anybody can take control, anybody can take charge in the world when there's no Torah. And now Rav Nosenzal is going to present a very interesting piece of Musa here. Ki be'emes, the truth is, hein be'klolius ha'olam, koidim kabbalas haTorah. Whether we talk about the world at large before the Torah was given, v'hein b'chol odom b'protius, or we talk about any individual Jew before he becomes religious, before he becomes committed to Torah, kol zman she'enoy noyeg kishur chas v'shon, as long as a person is not going on the right path, v'enoy mekayim es haTorah chas v'shon, and not following the mitzvahs of the Torah, oz ha'olam v'ha'odom hein b'chinas hefker, then the world or that individual person is in a state of hefker, free for all. Ki ein hefker godel mizeh, because there's no bigger concept of free for all then when a person isn't thinking about their future, their real future, thinking about what's going to happen when they pass away, what's going to happen with him in the next world after he dies? Ki yefsher lihimoleit min amisa b'shum oifen, because it's impossible for a person to escape death whatsoever in any way. Ki afilu kishiyovoi Moshiach b'mehera b'yameinu, because even when Moshiach is going to come, gam oz yemuchrach kol odom lomus, even then every single person is going to die. Kemoishoma Rabbeinu Zal b'feirush, as Rabbeinu Zal once commented clearly, shafilu Moshiach bi'atzmo yomus, even Moshiach himself is going to experience death. He's going to die. Loi kemoi shechoish v'moilam, not like people are under a misconception, shekishiyovoi Moshiach tizbatel hamisa. There are people that believe that as soon as Mashiach comes, there won't be death anymore. Ki loi cheinhu kanal, because that's not true. V'im kein. So therefore, based on that, me'achar she'yefshar lihimolet mizeh, once we know that a person can't escape this at all, va'oz yia oilam oruch lo'il mi'adu l'netzach netzochim, and then that when Mashiach, after Mashiach comes, there's going to be this concept of eternity, hayesh mufkar godel mizeh, is there a more free person, free in a negative way, is there a more loose, uncontrolled, irresponsible person than kishoholech achar taivas liboy, than a person who follows their own pleasures, umafkir atzmoy mechayim nitzchim, and a person who throws away the opportunity for eternal life? That's the greatest example of a mufkar. A mufkar meaning a person who doesn't care about himself at all whatsoever. Ukamay Shoma Rabbeinu Zal, and as Rabbeinu Zal said, V'nidfas b'sichoy saran, and as is printed in the Sefer Sichoy Saran in paragraph 51, She'omar Rabbeinu Zal says over there, She'hefkeris ein tzrichin l'avoydes Hashem Yisborach. Rabbeinu Zal says that there are certain people who think that in order to be religious, you have to throw away your wife and kids, and you can't work, you have to cut off all contact with Olam Hazeh, you know, you have to become an ascetic, go out into the mountains, leave humanity, and that's how you can come close to Hashem. You can't do it any other way. Rabbeinu Zal writes over there that that's what some people think, but it's not true. Rabbeinu Zal says you don't need hefkeres to serve Hashem. Ki yecholim lihiyos ish kosher b'li hefkeres. It's possible to be a religious person without hefkeris, without cutting, you know, without dropping out of work and dropping out of family, chas v'shalom, and that kind of thing. The Omar and Rabbeinu Zal said, related to this, afal pi she'etzli ein ze hefkeris klal, even though my personal opinion, Rabbeinu Zal said, is that this is not hefkeris, meaning you have parents, for example, today, let's say, or certainly in the olden days, who if their children didn't go to college, to university, they would say he lost his mind. He's a total nut. He has no concept of a future. He's a mufkar. He's a guy who doesn't care. He's showing that he doesn't care about himself and his future at all whatsoever. Why? Because he's doing something abnormal. He's going out of line. The standard line and the standard program, if a person wants to become a something in life, or if a person wants to live on this world, you have to have a degree. You have to have a profession. You know, you must graduate. You must have college. Otherwise, what are you going to be? A garbage cleaner? Or, you know, you'd be a nothing. That's a certain attitude related to life. And them, when they hear about people learning, these kind of people, when they hear about somebody learning in Kolel, let's say, or they hear about somebody, you know, not going to university, they say, "What, you know what he is? He's a mufkar. He's a reject. He's a guy, you know, he's a person who doesn't care about himself whatsoever. A completely irresponsible person." That's this term, mufkar. And Rabbeinu Zal said, even though, based on my belief, that's not hefkerus. A guy sitting and learning all day is not an irresponsible person. Ki adarabba, just the opposite. Lehepechu mufkar. It's the other guy that's the irresponsible person. Hainu, mi she'enoi mafkir atzmoi b'shvil Hashem yizborach, a person who does not open himself up completely to Hashem, who doesn't make himself 100% available to Hashem, zehu mufkor ba'emes. That's a person who's irresponsible, a person who takes on all kinds of other commitments, meaning, I'm not going to study Torah for 4 years or for 8 years because I want to become a doctor. And in order to become a doctor, I have to put Hashem on hold for 8 years. That's a mufkar. That you call a mufkar. A guy who's a nut, what kind of nut cuts himself off from Hashem? Loses himself from Hashem for 8 years. Rabbi Nizal says, that's a mufkar. That's hefkerus. Achaf al pikein, but despite that, afilu ma shenikra etzel ha'olam hefkerus, even what people call hefkerus, Rabbi Nizal says, I say it's not necessary. A person can be normal, even within the definitions of the world, and be very religious. You understand? He doesn't have to go off on the mountains, you know, and appear to the world as being a total, ascetic, that kind of thing. Gamze ein tzrich, and it's not necessary, ki yecholen lihi ois ish kosher b'li hefkerus. It's possible to be a religious person without hefkerus. Ayin Shom, look over there in Sichas Aran, paragraph Nun Aleph, where Rabbi Nizal discusses this. Nimtza, Rabbi Nizal says, what do we see from this? What do we see from Rabbi Nizal's usage of the word hefker and mufker? Shebe'emes, ze she'eino yhoylech bedarkei Hashem, that the truth is, a Jew who does not follow Hashem's path, he doesn't learn and daven and do mitzvahs, zehu mufkor b'emes. That's a totally irresponsible person. Ki ein hefkerus godol mizeh. There's nothing more irresponsible than that, and immature and irresponsible than that. Shemafkir chayim nitzchim v'toiv amiti v'nitzchi. A person who's rejecting eternal life and true good b'shvil sho kala, for something that's very temporary. For 30 years or 40 years of being able to drive a Mercedes and have that plaque in front of his house saying Dr. So-and-so or whatever, that kind of honor. Shehu kitzel oiver, the life in this world is like a passing shadow. V'chol tanugov me'uravim b'merirus, and all the pleasures of this world are laced with bitterness. Bekas, with anger, v'yogoin, and depression, u'machoivois, and pain. Ve'ein shum odom sheroidef achar olam hazeh, there doesn't exist a single person that's chasing the pleasures of this world, sheyil lo nachas v'tainig b'olam hazeh, and will achieve true pleasure and true satisfaction in this world. Ki kol yomov kas u'machoivois. Because a person who chooses that kind of way of life, their whole life is going to be filled with anger and suffering. Ki ha'olam hazeh mole pegoim v'tzorois v'yisurim v'daigois u'marirus godol b'chol eis u'v'chol shor. Because this world is loaded with pain, suffering, trouble, worry, bitterness at all times. U'kemuva b'shiloh, and as is brought a famous poem that's written in the Sefer Shiloh HaKadosh, where he says, Ein rega b'loy pega, ein shvua, ein this, ein shmita. He says there isn't a moment without trouble, there isn't a this without this. He puts it into a poem showing that this world isn't a fun place to be. The only thing that makes it worthwhile is that you can pick up gold and diamonds here. You have the opportunity to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim here, which in the next world will serve as your savings account, which will give you buying power over there. Ukemavur etzleinu b'makom achar, as is explained in another place in the Kotei Halachos, shebe'emes ein nimtzo gam echod sheyieloi olam hazeh klal. There doesn't exist a single person who has olam hazeh, meaning who has a real good time in this world. Picture what a favor he's doing us in giving us this information. If a person trusts him, now I don't have to feel so bad. The fact that I'm having a difficult time with my Arnuno, all the billions of different things, because it's written clearly in the Torah that nobody has a party in this world. It's not that I have to feel bad when I read Forbes and I hear that there are 300 billionaires in the world. I wish I could be like one of them. Baloney, man. It's very possible that they're worse off than you. And even if they are better off, don't worry. They have their peckle of trouble, suffering, problems, pain, anguish also. There's no chance in the world of anybody in this world that doesn't have a peckle. That's what's being stated here crystal clear. Ubevadai ein toiv ba'odom, kiim lirdoif tomid achar tachles amiti. Therefore, the best thing that a person could possibly do in this world is not chase honor or chase pleasure, but rather to chase eternal, that the true tachlis, the true goal, the true objective, tachlis hanitzchi, the eternal goal, shehu lavoides Hashem tomid, which is to serve Hashem permanently, losur meira, to stay away from doing the wrong thing, velaseis toiv, and to do the right thing. Shezehu toiv amiti lonetzach netzochim. That's the true good for eternally. Nimtza. So again, what do we see as a result of this? Mi she'enoi mekabel al atzmoi oil toiru mitzvois. A person that does not accept upon themselves the yoke of toira and mitzvois, hu bechinas mufkor. That's a reject. That's an irresponsible person. That's a nut job. Ube'emes. Who hefker? And the truth is that that person is really hefker. He's ownerless. He has no strings attached. He's like the desert. Kinestalik mimenu shmirosa yisborach, because he has removed from himself Hashem's supervision. In a sense, Hashem isn't watching over him anymore. V'hakoyl yecholim lishleit boy, and anybody that wants can take a shot at him. Any malach or anything can take a shot at him. If he doesn't accept the leash of Hashem, like lahavdil, a person has an animal, the animal's on a leash, it's terrible. It's a terrible life to have to be on a leash and somebody holding you. But in a way, it's good, because if a wolf, a big bad wolf comes to bite you, the owner pulls out his pistol and shoots big bad wolf, and you get to stay alive. Lahavdil, by Hashem also. If a person were to think, chas v'shalom, that, wow, I have to have this burden of, you know, accepting upon myself, you know, Hashem's authority, yeah, but on the other hand, with the authority goes that benefit of shmira. Ukemay shematzinu beklolius Yisrael, as we find by the Jewish nation as a whole, kishechotu bimei bayis rishon, when they sinned during the time that the first Beis Hamikdash was around, shenibu lohem hanavim, their prophets foretold, sheyie kamoy hefker, that Hashem is going to declare the Jews ownerless. Hashem is going to remove his leash from the Jews. Fine, you want to be free? I'll set you free. Ve'yishlotu bohem akum. And then all the nations of Goyim will take shots at them. Kemoy shekosu b'yirmiya lamedalit, as it says in Yirmiya, hineni koire lochem droer nu'um Hashem. Hashem says, I'm going to declare you as free. You're free. You want to be free? I'm going to set you free. El hacherev. You're going to be free to the sword and to the pistol, etc. Now, if Hashem sets us free, then chas v'shalom, we're open game, chas v'shalom, for any nations that want to take shots. Upirish Rashi Sham, Rashi Kodesh says over there in Yirmiya, hineni koire lochem droer me'iti, I hereby declare you as being free from me, she'eni odoin lochem, I'm no longer in charge of you. V'tihiyu hefker el acherev, and that's going to make you open game for the sword, etc., etc. Ukiyotze bozeh bekama psukim, as there are many psukim there that say this. So we see that that's the concept of hefker versus kinyan. Kinyan is das, we learned before. Kinyan is Torah, right? Whereas hefker is rejecting Torah, rejecting Hashem, rejecting das. V'zeh b'chinas churban ha-Beis HaMikdosh. This is the concept of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh. Ki machmas avoynoseyem hifkir Hashem yisporach es ha-Beis HaMikdosh at shesholtu bo yedei zorim. The Beis HaMikdosh is Hashem's house. Hashem has no problem guarding his house. When Hashem is in there, let any Romans or anybody else come and try to burn it down or try to touch it in any way. It's got not electrified fences around it. It's got nuclified fences around it. Anybody comes within 1,000 miles, they get blown to smithereens. But when the Jews committed sins, Hashem said, sins? Hefker. I'm no longer, I take my name off the bell. I no longer live here. Kavyochel Hashem no longer lives here. You see, the Romans were able to come in and burn it down. Because we know that when the Jews were religious, you saw miracles going on. The Gemara talks about the 10 miracles that were constantly happening in the Beis Hamikdash. Why? Because Hashem was there. Hashem's presence was there. Then how is it possible for them to burn it down? Hashem declared the Beis Hamikdash ownerless. Lahavdil, just like a guy moves out of a house and says, I no longer live here. I no longer live here. Anyone that wants can move in, they can burn it down, they can break the windows, you know, they can do whatever they want. Ki koidem kabolas ha-toyro, because before the Jews received the Torah, v'chein, kishe'oizven es ha-toyro chas v'sholem, and so too, when a Jew walks away from the Torah chas v'sholem, v'ein mekayim en oizze chas v'sholem, they don't fulfill the mitzvahs, azai ho'oilom chas v'sholem be'bechinas hefker, then the world is in a state of free-for-all. Ki ikar kiyum ho'oilom walidei ha-toyro, because the main thing that supports the world and maintains the world is the Torah. V'Yisroel zochu b'chol ha'olam u'meloyoy al yidei kabolas ha-Torah. And the Jews were put in charge of the entire world because of the Torah. Upon accepting the Torah, they were put in charge of the entire world. U'bishvil zeh kiblu Yisroel ha-Torah b'midbor. This is the reason why the Gemara says when Hashem gave the Jews the Torah, He gave it to them in the desert. Of all kinds of places to hold a concert, you hold a concert in the middle of the desert? Kavyochel Hashem was already giving the Torah. Why didn't He give it in Tel Aviv, in a nice big, or near the sea? Why in the desert, but in the Midbar? Ki Midbar hu mokoim hefker. A Midbar is the best, is a clear example of hefker, ownerless. Lehoyrois, and this was to teach the world, She Yisroel zochu b'chol ha'olam min ha'hefker alidei ha'Torah. That until Matan Torah, the whole world was ownerless. When the Jews accepted the Torah, they took over the ownership of the world from hefker. Lehavdil, like a guy walking in the forest and he finds something there, it belongs to him because nobody owns anything around there. Here, Hashem gave the Torah in the Midbar to show that the world at that point was in a state of Midbar, it was ownerless. Upon acquiring the Torah, which is Das, we were koine the entire world from Hefker. Ki koidem kabbalas ha-Torah ha-koil nechshav kemidbar shehu Hefker. V'alkein Hefker nase al yidei dibor bi'alma b'li shum kinyan. Rav Nosson Zal says now, this is why you'll see an interesting item. If I want to declare something ownerless, do I have to throw it out? No. By simply saying, Zeh Hefker, it becomes ownerless. How come when I want to acquire something, I have to make a kinyan? When I want to detach myself from it, no kinyan necessary. I simply say it with a word, and the word erases my kesher to it. Because, for example, when a person gives somebody else a gift, or a person sells something to another Jew, until the recipient makes a kinyan in the item, it's not valid. The transaction has not yet been consummated. And I have the right to take it back. I have the right, you know, to what's the word? And, you know, take my, rescind on my commitment, as long as the other guy hasn't made a kinyan. Avol behefker, whereas when it comes to being mafkir something, tekev kishemafkir, the moment I say I no longer own this, chal hahefker, the hefker goes into effect instantly, ve'eino yochel laser boy. And there's no way to take that back. Once you declare your car or your house hefker, you can't say, oops, I decided to take it back. Even if nobody else has taken it yet, it's only if the original owner goes ahead and makes a kinyan again, then it becomes his again. But just by saying anything, it won't help him. Avla hefker chal miyad b'lishum kinyan. Whereas declaring something ownerless, that goes into effect without any physical action, without any kinyan. Why is that? Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain now. Ki kol hakinyonim heim bechinas hadas. This is based on what we said before. Kinyon is a concept of das. Sheu bechinas ha-Torah kanal, which is a concept of Torah. Avol hefker nimshach mebechinas koidem kabolas ha-Torah. Whereas the concept of hefker is something that comes, that represents the state of the world before kabolas ha-Torah. Shehu bechinas hefker. The koidem kabolas ha-Torah adayin ein shum das klau. Before the Torah was given in the world, there was no real das. Ki ikar das hu ha-Torah. V'al kein ein shayach behefker shum kinyan klau. Bechinas koidem hamshochas ha-das. Shu koidem kabolas ha-Torah. Because the status called hefker represents before the Torah, before there was das. Ki ha-odom bechol zman yesh loy bechira. L'kayim es ha-Torah, shezeu bechinas kabolas ha-Torah, oy chas v'shon lehepech, shezeu bechinas hefker. Because a Jew, every minute of his life, is faced with this choice. If he chooses to be mekayim the Torah, that's a concept that he's performing kabolas ha-Torah. Every minute, a Jew has a choice of accepting the Torah or rejecting the Torah. If he accepts it, that's called kabolas ha-Torah. If he rejects it, that's called hefker. So whereas acquiring ownership requires kinyan, because it's Torah, das, im das, konisa, by das there's a kinyan required, hefker doesn't require any kinyan at all, because hefker means shaloi mi das, it's without das, there's no kinyan required. Just saying it.